I shall take as my text Exodus 20:16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This is the ninth commandment. We have one remaining commandment, and we shall seek to deal with that next Lord's Day, and we will complete this series on the Ten Commandments. I have sought in this outline to show you the order in the commandments themselves. And you can see that order progress as we come to the ninth commandment. And then as we finally reach the conclusion of the Decalogue itself. But in this second table that deals with our relationship to our neighbor, we have first the birth of the individual into the family, honor thy father and thy mother, the beginning of life, the relationship of the individual to his parents, he's to honor them as long as he lives. And then after we have the family established and the root and the basis of authority in life and in society given to us by God, then we're told that we shall not kill, that life has to be guarded and protected. And there are only certain circumstances as made known in the Bible when human life can be taken. And then after we get human life protected, we move into the realm, thou shalt not commit adultery. Still we're protecting human life. Still we're guarding the family. Still we're in this great realm of the individual. And when we reach the point where we accept God's regulations so far as our relationship between the sexes are concerned, then we have this tremendous and the blessed commandment, thou shalt not steal. We have rights, we have properties, we have that which we need in society, our means by which we have our living and by which we sustain ourselves, and we're responsible to sustain ourselves. Thou shalt not steal. And that cuts across the whole socialistic, communistic web as it's being woven today in our social life. But now we still move on up another step. Thou shalt not bear false witness. You need the truth in order to exist, and those next to you need the truth in order to get along with you. And this commandment places upon each one of us a responsibility to seek and to maintain the truth. We're to be honest, faithful, diligent witnesses. We're not to become parties to that which is perverting and twisting and misconstruing and turning things away from what they actually are. And if we're going to live together and live in good order and in decency, we need men who will tell the truth. And this commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness, is a further progression in the protection of the individual, is a further development in the recognition that we are responsible to God for what we say, that which comes out of our mouths. Now, next Lord's Day, we're going to go even deeper than this because we're going to go into the heart, which is the question of covet. Thou shalt not covet. And when we get into the heart next Sunday, you can't go any deeper, you can't go any further, and so the commandment stops. But at this point, we're dealing with the expression, with the speech, with the words, with the things that come out of your mouth. And the Bible, of course, is very clear about the tongue in this present estate. It's an unruly thing. It can be set on fire of hell. And if we're going to deal with this matter of speech and bearing witness, if we're going to deal with these things, we must recognize that we need the help of God to control our speech and direct our activities in this area. And there's not a single one of us that's not an offender, because we've all transgressed in this field many, many times. And we have to come face to face with the reality that we do sin in our speech and in the things that we say and we do. And yet, let's stop for just a moment. Society is built upon the fact that you must have proof. When there's a dispute and you're called into court, you take an oath. And the court asks you, do you swear that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God? And you have to swear. In order to get at the question of justice, you have to have truth. In order to get at the heart of a controversy, you have to have truth. In order for people to have confidence in one another, they have to have truth. And when men and women take vows to live together and they promise God that they shall live together, they must promise each other that they will be loyal to each other, that they'll tell each other the truth, that they'll not defraud one another. And it's absolutely necessary that we understand the obligation to maintain a faithful witness and that we give the truth. No place, of course, can this be seen more clearly than the whole matter of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What do? When we preach the gospel? Preach a pack of lies? Of course not. We preach the truth. We tell what God did when His Son died and when He raised Him from the dead. The whole ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is built upon the fact that you will have faithful preachers who will give you the truth, and who will tell you the testimony that God has delivered into our hands so that we can tell you what God wants you to know. Now, the Bible is full of all these warnings about vain repetitions and about being deceived. And we're aware of the fact that the old devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And it's through the realm of speech that Satan is working today. It's in the hearts of men where envy and jealousy and all these things are generated, and it comes out in the speech which they make. And consequently, in this area of this matter of telling the truth and of not bearing false witness, every single individual walking upon the face of the earth must listen to what God has to say. Now, just as I've emphasized in these other messages, why is it necessary that we tell the truth? Why can't we lie if it's going to help us? Why can't we deceive if it'll be convenient? Why can't we be crooked if we're going to prosper? Why is it necessary that you tell the truth in your relationship with your neighbor and in your contact with your brother? The answer is that God says it is. And furthermore, if you don't tell the truth, He's going to judge you for it. And if you don't tell the truth, He's going to hold you responsible for your speech and for your conduct. God is the guardian of the truth. God Almighty is the one who's lifted up this standard and says that He wants truth to prevail in the relationship between man and man, and in the conversation that is exchanged between the creatures whom He's made in His own image. He wants the truth to be told. Well, if God insists that we tell the truth, and God lays down in His commandment this great demand, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, God Almighty has set before you and me a glorious concept. And when you love Him, you will love the truth. And when you know you've been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, you will seek to do that which pleases Him. And a Christian hates a lie, and a Christian loves the truth. It's a part of his being born again. It's a part of the desire and the love that's in his new nature since he's come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I've been expounding these commandments for you, I have been reading to you the detailed exposition given in our Confession of Faith and Catechism. And in this particular commandment, there is so much. There is great detail given. May I read you what we have In question 145, what are the sins forbidden in the ninth commandment? And I'm going to read a lot of sins that many of you never heard about. But here they are. The sins forbidden in the ninth commandment are all prejudicing of the truth and the good name of our neighbor as well as our own, especially in public judicature, giving false evidence, suborning false witnesses, wittingly appearing and pleading for an evil cause, outfacing and overbearing the truth, passing unjust sentence, calling evil good and good evil, rewarding the wicked according to the works of the righteous, and the righteous according to the works of the wicked. Forgery, concealing the truth, undue silence in a just cause, and holding our peace when iniquity calleth for either a reproof from ourselves or complaint to others, speaking the truth unseasonably or maliciously to a wrong end or perverting it to a wrong meaning. See all these shades, all these little terms. Why, you can take the truth and you can pervert the truth to a wrong meaning, or you can pervert the truth to a wrong end. And that's a violation of this commandment. Or in doubtful or equivocal expression, to the prejudice of truth or justice, speaking untruth, lying, slandering, backbiting, detracting, tale-bearing, whispering, scoffing, reviling, rash, harsh, and partial censuring, misconstruing intentions, words, and actions, flattering, vainglorious boasting, thinking or speaking too highly or too meanly of ourselves or others, denying the gifts and graces of God, aggravating small or faults, hiding, excusing, or extenuating of sins when called to a free confession, unnecessarily discovering of infirmities, raising false rumors, receiving and countenancing evil reports, and stopping our ears against just defense. Told you you're going to hear a lot of sins you never heard of before. But here they are, all these different shades, all these different angles, all related to this great body of revealed truth where God requires of you and me that we be absolutely honest and just in our relationship and in our speech to those about us. Evil suspicion, envying or grieving at the deserved credit of any. Beloved, I've lived long enough thus far to see these aggravations take place, and to see the consequences of aggravations of this kind in the life of a church, in the life of a missionary society, in the life of a seminary, in the life of a college. I've seen these very elements which are expressed right here in this commandment, and which I'm sure that if a lot of people understood what was involved in them when they loved the Lord, they wouldn't have been engaged in them. But just look at this, misconstruing intention, accentuating infirmity, all the spirit of envy and jealousy, and you come out with the slander, and you come out with the slant, and you come out with this type of thing, and immediately people are offended and people react, and you find in this particular area a whole field in which the old devil can work his mischief to his heart's desire. And what we need at this point are church members and leaders of the church who understand the law of God and who are able to detect this type of activity when it becomes a matter of interest and it becomes a matter of issue, and then in the name of truth and in the name of the Lord of God, appeal to God's people to obey the commandment of God. Let me read you some more. Receiving and countenancing evil reports. Isn't it wonderful how people like to get an evil report against somebody they're against? When you're against somebody and somebody brings an evil report to you and you just receive it, I knew that was true. I'm sure glad to hear that. I got something else I can use now. You see? Receiving and countenancing evil reports and stopping our ears to just defense. Somebody's been unjustly accused, and here comes somebody with a fact to point out that that wasn't a fair accusation. Oh, I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to listen to that stuff. I've heard all I know. You can't convince me. Stopping our ears to a just defense. Evil suspicion. Envying or grieving at deserved the credit of any. Endeavoring or desiring to impair it. Rejoicing in their disgrace and their infamy. Scornful contempt, fond admiration, breach of lawful promise, neglecting such things as are of good report, and practicing or not avoiding ourselves or not hindering what we can in others, such things as procure an evil name. You turn over there to the book of Proverbs and you hear the things that the prophet's against. Among the greatest, he's against sowing discord among brethren. Sowing discord among brethren. Just deliberately aggravating. Sowing discord among brethren. Now, I'm not talking just about the church. I'm talking about the choir. I'm not just talking about the choir. I'm talking about the junior Christian endeavor. Well, the little girl sits over there and she spreads a bad tale about this little girl over here. And then she sees the reaction. She gets a lot of pleasure out of it. And if you ever heard evil tales being spread around, you just get some girl interested in some little boy and some other girl jealous of him. And you get the tales they just manufacture and they just spread, and we get into the field of rumor here and rumor gets around the church and all sorts of things are upset. In every field of human endeavor, where we come in contact with people and we rub shoulders with them and they rub us the wrong way, it comes out of our mouths. And this type of aggravation works all manner of mischief at the present time. We see it in our political life. I've been talking on the radio this past week about this senator from California who got up and talked about the fright peddlers. And I read his speech, and if there's anybody seemed to be a scared, he was a scared of the fright peddlers. But I saw in that this rumor, this tale bearing, this exaggeration, this twisting, misinterpreting. It's right there on the floor of the United States Senate. That's where I saw it. And we're dealing in every sphere of human endeavor with this type of twisting and perverting and deceit and misleading and downgrading and hitting people and blasting them. We're dealing with that sort of thing. Always. And do you know what this nation needs today, beloved? It needs to hear the gospel preached and get people saved so they will love the truth and they'll love the law of God. That's what we need. And it's the ungodly man, it's the unregenerate man who's filled with deceit and with lying, with jealousy and with envy and all these things that aggravate and bring about disaster and confusion. And sometimes people say the most difficult thing to do today is to find the truth. Where can we find the truth in a given conflict? How can we get at it? It's so difficult. And consequently, those of us who love the Lord and who love the law of God and who love the gospel of Jesus Christ know that only the Spirit of God can take charge of a man and make him love the truth for the truth's sake. Now, The commandments of the Bible are just on every hand. We are to eschew evil, and we are to exalt righteousness in all of our deeds. But turn with me, please, to the 5th chapter of Ephesians. I'm going to turn you now to several of these passages in the Bible. But when you come to some of these biblical passages, you see this tremendous emphasis upon the truth, upon the love of truth. But in the 5th chapter, we're told in verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. Don't you be misled by the speech of people who are offering you vain words. Don't you do it. He says, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Beloved, if you can't speak the truth, just don't speak. Keep your mouth closed. That's the soundest and best advice that anybody can give you. Why, the apostle says, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Then he says, for ye be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't you be a partaker. You know, you soon find out, after you've dealt with people for a while, of their nature and their attitude, you soon find out whether you can trust that woman to talk or not. You're soon able to size her up. You say, oh, she just talks and talks and rattles on. She repeats every rumor that comes to town. You get to recognize that kind of a person, and you're just a little bit careful. You get to recognize people. You recognize the disposition of men. You recognize their character in these things. We all see it out of our experience with one another. And we have to bear with an awful lot of people that some of us wish we could get rid of for a while. We really do. But this passage says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't you engage in their type of activity, even if they use it against you. And as I've pointed out, and it's true in all the conflicts, and we're engaged in conflict today, tremendous conflict. But the way to win any debate is to speak the truth. And the way to win a defense when any attack is being made upon you is to speak the truth. Never attempt to protect yourself by a lie, because your sins will be found out. If not here, they'll be found out in the court of heaven, and you'll have to pay for it. The Christian must love the truth and stand by the truth, because God will honor the truth, and His commandment demands it, and His commandment is set before you as the law of life. Well, look a little further in this 5th chapter of Ephesians. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and what? Truth. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And do you know what's acceptable unto the Lord? That you be a faithful and honest witness to the things which you know and to the things which you see and to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, I go back to this larger catechism and see how our fathers framed it and worked it out. And it's just simply magnificent when you read it. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people. And then we have these questions here of prejudicing the truth, backbiting, detracting, tale-bearing, whispering, scoffing, reviling, rash, harsh, and partial censuring, misconstruing intentions, words, and actions. Misconstruing actions. Well, I could surely give you some illustrations if you'd like to have me do it. I've stood at the back door of this church on Sunday and shaken hands with people as they go out the door. And the Lord knows my heart, I try to treat everybody alike. I don't want to treat anybody with any partiality, but just as sure as you're alive, and I've heard it at different times, somebody came out, several people, and I didn't shake hands with somebody. And so they misconstrued my action. They thought the pastor had a little something against them. You see? I've had the same thing happen right here. The pastor walks down the aisle of the church, and I never saw a church so full of people that occupy the aisles after the service is over. Everybody gets in the aisles of this church as soon as the church service is over, and you sit around here and talk. And in fact, I've gotten several times an inspiration to ask you to sit down. Let me preach you another sermon. If you're not willing to go home after the church service is over and you just want to stay here, some of you do. But I come down the aisle. I'm coming back up here for something, or somebody has asked me to get something. I move in here. And just as sure as can be, if I pass somebody and don't look at them or smile at them or something else, I say, what's wrong with Mr. McIntyre? Don't you misconstrue my actions. Don't you misconstrue my intentions. Don't you do it. And furthermore, don't you get down into that area where you're letting your life be conditioned by somebody's action toward you. Beloved, lift yourself up on a higher plane of respect and tolerance and understanding of other people and the responsibilities which are upon them. But this passage says that people do it. And people can get upset over the littlest things. I never saw the like. In some of our Sunday school classes, I've seen people get up and they just get so hot. And I've given to me, Mr. Mangar, something happened in my Sunday school class. I said, what was it? Oh, she says, Mrs. So-and-so said something. Well, I said, let her say it. She's going to be condemned by her own speech. Let her say it if she feels that way. Oh, beloved, we live on this level down here where the devil can just aggravate it, and he comes into this whole realm of the truth. And we need people who will not be misled by misinterpretations, and we need people who will not misjudge people by some little action here that they never intended to be that way at some. Now, I know that preachers suffer from this because I've talked to too many of them. And I've seen problems arise in churches. And you have it especially in smaller churches where the people are a little bit more compact together and they're meeting each other a little bit more than a larger church where people are willing to accept a lot of things and go on because of the church and the activities being carried on. And my heart goes out to some of our young pastors taking over some of our young Bible Presbyterian churches where there's some two elders or somebody else who've got something up against one another. They've had some misunderstanding. And it all comes back to this commandment and the demands of the Lord that we honor the truth and that we respect one another as the servants of Jesus Christ. Now turn over, please, to the third chapter of the book of James. Oh, you hear Paul saying to young Timothy, young Timothy, you have sound speech that cannot be condemned. You talk in such a way and handle yourself in such a manner that they won't be able to condemn you. But now here you come into the third chapter of James, and oh, how this comes home to every one of us. Verse 2. Son, look it up. Look it up. Third chapter of James. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. You understand? It's a great big ship, immense ship. It's got a little rudder here at the back, just a little rudder. And the turning of that rudder determines the way that that great ship goes. He says we put bits in horses' bridles. Well, I guess we don't understand that figure anymore because we don't ride horses, we ride automobiles. But you put bits in the horse's mouth, and you yank the bridle this way, and he'll go that way. Yank it this way, he'll go that way. Yank it both ways, he'll stand up on his hind end. It's the way you yank the bridle. It's what that horse does. Now notice what he says. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. Have you ever heard the slogan, think twice before speaking once? Have you ever heard that practical exhortation? Have you ever heard about sleeping on the letter before you mail it? Good, sound advice. Even as the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, for it is set on fire of hell. Oh, the husband that can say things sometimes that cut his wife and she grieves for weeks, if he just hadn't said. Oh, the wife that says something to her daughter or to her child, and she did it in her haste and in her temper, if she just hadn't said it, the child will remember it to the mother's dying day. And oh, the little child who rises up in impudence against its father or its mother. There comes a day and years later when that child says, oh, if I just had treated my mother differently, if I just hadn't said some of those things in our home. Set on fire of hell. Just read this. This is marvelous, this passage. The Apostle James knew exactly the kind of a tongue you and I have. He knew exactly the disposition that we have. Let's see it now. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of some of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Well, if no man can tame the tongue, who will tame it? Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can tame it. Look at the rest of this passage. Every kind of beast, of birds, of serpents, of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Now everybody knows it's that possible. Here men are even members of the church. They go to church. They're in Sunday school. And they bless God. But then something happens at home or something happens somewhere else, and lo and behold, before they know it, out comes some foul language out of their mouth. Gets out of there. Look at that. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. These things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter water? The answer is no. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. Who is a wise man and a dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envyings and strife in your heart, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This is wisdom. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. You know, I like the Bible. It uses very strong language. Isn't that tremendous life? Why, this sort of thing is earthy, it's sensual, it's devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom which is from above. Now here we come to God. Here we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good faith, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Do you know the biggest problem you have in life to deal with? It's your tongue. Your tongue gets you into more trouble. Now don't cut it out. You keep it. Don't throw it away. You need it. God gave it to you. But let that tongue come under the control of the Spirit of God. And let it be under the discipline of the Son of God. And you speak the truth in love. Well, this commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness, affects all our relationships in life. And you mothers who have children and who are disciplining them, you discipline not only when they turn over the milk bottle, but you discipline when some foul word comes out of their mouth. You discipline not only when they disobey you and fall down the stairs and break the glasses or something else. You discipline when that little mouth of theirs gives expression to something which you know is a lie. And you teach them that they are going to suffer under the hand of Almighty God when they lie and when they bear false witness and when they deceive and when they mislead. And if you can have families and you can have homes and you can have young people who love the truth and who love the truth, God Almighty will bless you and you will have peace. It's lying. It's slandering. It's misrepresentation. It's all this sort of thing that creates these aggravations and makes men turn one against one another in hatred and envy and strife. And if we just had the truth in the first place, it never would have developed. And this is why, as a people, we humble ourselves in the presence of our unruly tongues. And we ask God to forgive us. We ask God to guard us. And whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, think on those things. And let's not believe the evil reports. And yet when iniquity is being honored, let's not remain silent. To remain silent would be sin. Both sides, both angles of this requirement is set before us in the law of our God. And beloved, if you love the truth, God will love you. And if you stand by the truth, God will deliver you. God can't bless a lying witness, because God has never to this very day ever blessed a lie. If you want to make sure that God will not bless you, you just be a liar and you won't have it. But if you want to be sure that God will bless you and God will undertake for you and you can have confidence, that confidence comes because you're a man of integrity and you're seeking to tell the truth and to give testimony to the truth. Oh, beloved, the greatest thing this nation needs, the greatest thing this world needs, the greatest thing any of us need is the Word of God and the law of God and the knowledge that the transgression of this law is sin and the knowledge that Jesus will forgive you for your lying tongue and that He will give you the strength to control it and make it a tongue of truth and a tongue of peace. I told you I was going to read you some things from your own confession of faith that many of you have never known, never heard about. But the deeper you get into the law of God, the more searching it is of your own heart. And the more grateful you are to God that He knows everything. All things are open and naked before the eyes of Him with whom we have to deal. And because He knows everything, He's going to bring every idle word that you shall speak into judgment in that great day. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Ask Him to pardon you of your iniquity. And then as a man who's been saved and with a new nature, go out to serve Him. And when you stumble and when you slip, ask Him to cleanse you. Say, son, did you ever have the experience to have your mouth washed out with soap? Did you ever have your experience having your mouth washed out with soap? Well, I've had my ears washed out with soap. But I shall remember one day when my mother says, son, you must have your mouth washed out with soap. And you know, I can still taste that soap today. And it wasn't ivory soap either. which is 99, 100% pure. If we could just get our mouths washed out with soap. But no, beloved, we need our mouths cleansed by Jesus Christ. Some of you mothers, get some soap that isn't ivory, please, and try it and let me know how it works, because I'm a good exhibit. I learned my lesson early in life. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank Thee that the Bible is so realistic. And that when we take these great passages from the Scripture and expound them and then see how our fathers summarized the teaching of the Bible in our own great confession in the larger catechisms, we thank Thee for them. And oh, that we could have truth in the ecclesiastical world, that we could have truth in the political world, that we could have truth in the great anti-communist fight of the day, that we could have truth in the inward part. God bless each one of us, and may we be directed by Thy Spirit for Christ's sake. Amen. Now let's turn, please, to hymn number 211. 211.